nominations tonight, we have promotions tonight. This is, see, we all have to stay for the council meeting, that's the deal. What's the point? Okay, then. You know how effective we are with the council meeting, that's good, that's a good start. Well, let's start with the promotion. Now, JJ, but is it Joe tonight? Tonight's Joseph, right? So, if you want to. Okay, so, how was it supposed to first? Raise your right hand and repeat after me, please. I.
I, Joseph Lushner.
Being first duly sworn.
Being first duly sworn.
Upon my oath.
Upon my oath.
Say that I will support the Constitution.
Say that I will support the Constitution.
And laws of the United States.
And laws of the United States.
The Constitution and laws.
Constitution and laws.
Of the state of Ohio.
Of the state of Ohio.
And the charter and ordinances.
And the charter and ordinances.
Of the city of Independence.
Of the city of Independence.
That I will faithfully.
That I will faithfully.
Honestly.
Honestly.
And impartially.
And impartially.
Discharge my duties.
Discharge my duties.
As lieutenant.
As lieutenant.
Of the fire department.
Of the fire department.
Of the city of Independence.
Of the city of Independence.
So help me God.
So help me God.
There are paramedics in the house. So start bleeding, we have paramedics in the house, not a problem.
Got it.
Okay. Now we have Chief Riga and Assistant Chief Wheeler. Chief, you want to talk about JJ or Joseph, so what do you want to call him?
Joseph likes to be called JJ, maybe any other way, but he's been with us for about 10 years. He's been an outstanding firefighter. Through COVID, he got his associate's degree in fire science, which we're all proud of for that. He's gone on to be an active member of our hazmat team for our region, and he's recently been promoted to the assistant director of hazmat for our team, too. So he's been very busy. I'm really proud of him, so I'm looking forward to what he can do as a lieutenant.
Sign these up, make it official. Well, JJ, Joseph, or Joe, you sign. I want to acknowledge our men in the back. members of the department, thanks for showing up, being part of this important promotion. Thank you very much. You helped make this team what it is today, and we're so proud of all of our firefighter, paramedics, and the entire team, the leadership team. Hey, by the way, AC Wheeler, I want to thank you for the drone footage of the home days. It was fantastic. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. But seriously, you should be very proud. As the chief said, JJ has come a long way within the department, and he's got a long way to go. Bright, bright future, and so you should be very proud of this. Congratulations. Proclaimed today as Adam J. Becklin Day, better known as AJ, right? For being a recognized outstanding achievement of Ohio Athletic Committee grade school wrestler. Now, what grade, what weight did you wrestle? And how many years have you competed? Pick a number. 4 years. This is the big year, right? You were fifth 1 year. Seventh 1 year, third 1 year, or fourth, but this is the big one. You did, how'd you accomplish that? Well, I know how, but I want to hear, I want you to tell the people.
I was very hard at practice.
Stand up there. That's better. Work, hard work, right? That's one of the golden rules of life, hard work. If you ever talk to anybody that's been successful in life, they'll tell you what a primary ingredient is, hard work. And for you, as parents and sisters, three sisters, right? They keep you in line? Oh, don't say yes. Sisters too, and it doesn't work that way all the time. But most of the time, right? And your father's been very instrumental, correct? He's been very helpful. Tell me what your father's done to help you. Tell everybody, don't just tell me.
He drove me to all the practices.
Sacrifice, right?
Yep.
Okay, and mom? And your sisters, they were just sparring partners, right? What's up, Tom? Well, he's honest, too. He's not only hardworking, but he's honest. And so today, this is yours, but today we want to proclaim today by, and therefore, I'm going to say that, and therefore, Gregory Kurtz, as mayor, by virtue of the authority invested in me as mayor of the city of Independence, I do like to declare proclaim August 9th, 2022 as the day of honor of AJ Becklin Day. Congratulations. Sharing tonight, that's okay, right? They're both very important. So Nathan's recognized for his prize-winning documentary, Dream of Clean Water. If anybody's had a chance to see that, it's basically about, tell me what it's about. It's about the Cuyahoga River?
Yeah, it's about the Cuyahoga River and how the 1972 Clean Water Act kind of transformed it after it was being filled with waste. And then after that, they went from like 3 species of fish to 70, kind of just really reclaimed the water. Where we're going from that.
And if you ever have a chance, it's really phenomenal. And it's really propelled you to now, where are you going to school?
Loyola Marymount in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles. It's a very respected, renowned, distinguished school where you're going to learn a lot more, and you're going to share your talents and learn more and be able to continue to make a difference. But you'll never forget where you came from, right?
Of course.
Because your parents won't let you. Okay, so on behalf of the City of Independence, and now therefore I, Gregory Kurtz, by virtue of the authority vested in me as Mayor of the City of Independence, Ohio, do hereby designate and proclaim August 9, 2022, in honor of Nathan Kaczmarski. Congratulations. I can work that out for him. I know your parents very well, so I can work that out to help you out. No problem, you call me. Again, on behalf of the city and myself personally, congratulations. Very, very proud of you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Can I get a photo?
Oh, yeah. Come on. Okay, how many fish? Would you fish the river today?
No.
Ah, jeez, oh, man.
I don't have a fish.
Oh, you don't fish? Okay, I feel better already. You'd swim the river?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Now that says a lot. Does he fish? Oh, well, then that's a good reason why you wouldn't fish.
Who's just a one?
99.
Yeah. know your mother's house where it was.
Yeah?
Yeah?
That's for sure.
We shared that one. Anybody, we waiting for anybody?
No.
Okay.
It's the Vice Mayor.
Okay, Vice Mayor, it's your call. It's your shot.
Welcome, everyone. Let's do the...
Caucus.
The caucus. I'm so excited about the proclamation we gave there, kind of just observing how they're... So welcome to the caucus of the regular council meeting of August 9th, 2022. Debbie, you please call the roll.
Sure. Pete Geronimo?
Here.
Brendel?
Here.
Narducci?
Here.
Pagliari?
Here.
Tracus?
Present.
Roberto?
Here.
Walt Chandler?
Here.
Very good. We are all here, and we're gonna be jumping around a little bit at the beginning so we can take care of our guests that are here so they don't have to wait through the whole agenda and everything. Jessica, do we want to go first with ordinance number 2022-118? And I think our guests will be here virtually.
Yes, they're both online.
Fantastic. I'm sorry, they're coming up on monitor. So ordinance 2022-18 is an ordinance to grant a special conditional use permit for Gray Media Group. The project is involving WOIO, WUAB, and WTCL, Telemundo Cleveland. The zoning on that site is currently zoned U6A, which is a hotel, motel, restaurant, and auto service station. Gray Media would like to use this property for office and satellite equipment to operate their television station, so they're requesting a special conditional use permit for the site. The Planning Commission met last week and made a favorable recommendation to City Council to approve that. Right now, they're still in preliminary designs. They're looking at constructing a 37 to 40,000 square foot office building, investing about $12 to $13 million in the shell of that facility, and bringing about 140 to 150 employees to the facility with about $14 million payroll. Just for some background information, in 2019, Gray Media acquired Raycom, which was the previous owner of that television station. Gray is one of the country's largest TV station owners. They're, I believe, the second largest TV station owner in the country, and they have been investing in new facilities throughout the country, most recently building a new facility in Augusta, Georgia, and Madison, Wisconsin. They own about 180 TV stations across the U.S., and they're headquartered in Atlanta. And one of the reasons that Matt Moran, who's the general manager, who's online, as well as Caleb, I believe Caleb might be online as well, Debbie.
Yes, he is.
He's their general counsel. One of the reasons they decided looking at this location is because of our proximity to the media market. So Independence is located south of downtown Cleveland, which is where they're currently located, and so they're able to access all points of the media market. So they go as far west as the Mansfield area, as far east as Ashtabula, and south to Tuscarawas. So being in Independence gives them easy access to the highway. And they also cited visibility on 480 and 77 as being key, as well as safety being here in Independence. So anyone who knows anything about the TV business, it's a 24-hour day, 7-day week, 365 days a year business. So people are coming and going at all hours of the day, and being located here in Independence is one of the reasons why, the safety here is one of the reasons why they wanted to come to this location.
Thank you, Jessica. Any questions for Jessica, or do we have Matt here?
Matt is online.
Oh, he's online, okay.
Yes.
Any questions for Jessica regarding this proposal? I know the mayor and I were excited last week. It was Matt gave a very good presentation, spelled out all the positives that he thought of the location. I think the planning commission was enthusiastic in receiving this application. I think that that's positive. You know, they're not requesting for any kind of assistance from the city or that. It's going to be beautiful. They showed us the facilities they have in Madison and also I think in
Augusta,
and they're a beautiful facility. That kind of architecture here would very make us very proud. And like I said, it's kind of the crown jewel what we're going to have with the project visibility. We have Topgolf in it now. We have Embassy Suites. We have the podiatric school. So that's a prestigious member of tenants and companies that are on that street. Even the buildings that are at the south end of the street, the older buildings, everything are very nice too. So I have nothing but, this is exciting. You know, it seemed like, you know, we were kind of bummed a little bit that Saucy Drew wasn't coming, but I think out of that grew something even greater for the city and prestigious. I mean, every time, a few years, you watch Channel 19 News or 43, hopefully they'll say they're broadcasting from, you know, from Independence and everything, and that'll really be something to make us proud.
One of the things that Planning Commission did discuss is, obviously, since it's a TV station, satellite equipment is key to their operation. They're still working out those details, but they have committed to screening that so that it is attractive from those folks that are driving by.
And we've dealt with that, Mary, dealt with that with the solar panels that the Podiatric School put up and everything. We still probably could do a little better job with that, but this is going to be much, I know they can do first class as far as that goes. So, again, if anybody has any questions, but I think this is a very positive. John?
Sounds like positive economics for the city. So, Jess or Matt, the 150 employees, do you think that there's the expectation that those are employees in town, or is there a percentage that work off-site?
The theory is, so if you really think about where they're located right now, they're in Reserve Square and they're in the basement, which isn't really attractive. I think Matt told us that his office is the only office that has daylight windows. So building this new facility is really going to encourage their workforce to come back to the station.
And if I could jump in, yeah, the majority, the vast majority of our employees have returned to work are at the station. And as a company, we are not a remote workforce. We want our employees in our facility. Obviously, we made some adjustments during COVID, but we have all returned to work. And obviously, when we get to Independence, the workforce will report to Independence for work, and our news operations are obviously going to base there, and that's where the vast majority of people will be. But we are not a work from home organization, so they will be in Independence working.
Thank you, Matt.
Vice Mayor, there is another question. Matt, do you see any risk of frequency interference because of your dishes, your satellite dishes?
I do not, and I have not heard of that in other locations.
Okay. It was a question that was asked, and I just wanted to publicly get a response. Thank you.
Any other questions for Matt that we have online about everything? Well, Matt, thank you for joining us virtually everything. I believe, Council, I think you're feeling unanimous with us that we will approve this tonight on the consent agenda. Very good. Well, Matt, we're looking forward again to every step of the way the city being your partner, your company's partner in this and seeing this through, and hopefully look forward to your company moving out here with a grand opening here in the near future.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. I appreciate all of your guidance and help throughout this. We're very excited to get going. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Caleb. To be continued.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Council.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Jessica. Now we'll move on. We have our gentleman from CBiz here and everything. We'll move to two ordinances, ordinance number 2023-119, which is ordinance accepting the proposal of CBiz Insurance Services, Inc. for property and casualty risk management professional consulting services for the purchase of property, inland, marine, crime, and automobile insurance for the city, as well as ordinance number 2022-120. This ordinance authorizing the retention of Travelers Property Casualty Company of America for insurance underwriting services for the purchase of property, automobile, inland marine equipment, and crime insurance for 2022 through 2023. That's August 20th of this year through August 19th of next year for an amount not to exceed $114,330. Dennis, I see from your memo, it only went up, what, about $4,000 or $5,000? I think
yes,
that's all.
Yes, it was 4% increase.
That's you with the honor, I think. Yep.
Tonight we have Mike Perry with CBiz. Mike's been very instrumental in guiding us for several years now. And Mike, you want to Want to say it further?
My name is Michael Perry. I'm the vice president of CBIZ. I've been with CBIZ since inception of the company here in Independence back in '96 when we created the company. I run the risk management division for consulting, and we've been doing the risk consulting for the city since 2014, 8 years. Historically, the city has chosen not to buy liability insurance. The only insurance they purchase is for their police, their vehicles, and their property. And that has been the way it is. That's what the ordinance is that is being introduced tonight for the renewal of it. We are consultants. There is no commission paid. It's strictly on a fee basis. We represent the entire universe of carriers, so there's no bias. Historically, we've been placing it with Travelers. They're also a local taxpayer in the city, and they've been providing great value. That 4% increase that you see before you is below trend. Trend in the insurance industry for a fleet of vehicles as well as property is more than 4%. And so that is demonstrative of the profitability that you folks have done with your own loss control. However, that is the purpose of my conversation tonight is what you don't have coverage for. And that is liability insurance, public official, employment practices, law enforcement. These things are an umbrella. You have chosen historically never to buy that coverage. What would be the trend of cost for this city based on its revenue and headcount? It would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $100,000 to $120,000 historically. However, 2 years ago, we got formal with this and presented it to the city before the rainy day fund was tapped. And the offer was in the $115,000 or $120,000 range. There's a handout you're getting that has the offers from Travelers as well as Hudson on the terms and conditions. And it was turned down, or it was tabled, it never got pursued. And subsequent to that event, that litigation that happened has destroyed your credibility as a city. So because of that, it's like applying for a mortgage with no credit score. The insurance industry doesn't reflect your own internal documents as credible information. However, the ordinance that was passed for the rainy day fund is a public record. So the entire insurance industry has record of that transaction plus the fees that were carved out that were put together. And the carriers look at that as a predictable indicator of what could happen in the future. And as a result, they're concerned about internal controls, they're concerned about a lot of things. However, when you package your liability, your public official liability, your employment practices liability, and your umbrella together, that collateralized leverage makes you somewhat still desirable. So what we did this year is we went out to market. And we have two divisions that specialize in municipalities around the country. And so far, we've gotten mostly declines, declined in quote. However, we have some that are going to offer terms. Selective Insurance Company, who used to insure the city prior to Travelers, has agreed to offer terms. We'll know what those terms are here in a few days, as well as Hudson, who made the offer 2 years ago. What will that number be? It will be somewhere probably in the $100,000 to $150,000 range. Because you can't a la carte the coverages that we're speaking about here. The employment practices, the public official, the umbrella, and the general liability and law enforcement all go together because you have to aggregate it to present yourself for leverage. And that is what we are doing. So we don't have, and the deductible will be $25,000. You will be able to pick counsel, like we have in the past with Taft, and we'll just move forward. But for now, the market is not competing for your business. But we have to get some coverage in place to establish a basis. Otherwise, they have to rely on your own internal documents for what you spend on legal fees, what you spend to settle trip and falls, and they don't look at your own paperwork as credible versus a third-party company presenting your history. Thank you.
To be continued, in other words.
To be continued, yes.
So when you do receive, Vice Mayor, when you do receive some information, support, or quotes, then we can have your further discussions with our purchase with Dennis, and then we can discuss it as a group as to a recommended direction like you do on our other insurances.
Yeah, and if you look at the handouts, Travelers 2 years ago, for everything all in, including the current auto and property, was 300 and some thousand. However, if you couple the current Travelers offer with the Hudson offer from 2 years ago, it's only 250,000.
Right.
And to give you a point of reference, municipalities are based on revenue, headcount, number of autos, and property values. And just to parlay this into a more local example, City of Middleburg Heights, their revenue run is about 30-some million. You guys are about 50 million. They have about 18 to 20 million in lower property values than yours of owned buildings, and about 15 less public autos. They're all in number, they're with Travelers, they're all in number is close to 400,000 a year with a 20,000 deductible or something like that. So that's not desirable, and that's because of their own claim history. And then in Ohio, there's public entity pools, there's all kinds of government pools available, but without credibility and track record, those are what we call claims made pools. So if you ever want to leave, your claims go with you without the option of buying a channel. And so you become exposed, so you end up having to be married to them for a long time. And so that isn't, for this city, that is not a desirable outcome.
Sure.
So we hope to have some numbers shortly. We'll revisit it. But it's my recommendation it's going to be a six-figure jump of expense from the current burn of 114 to probably close to 170, almost 275, a little under 300. And the least you'll be buying was $10 million of liability. Guaranteed cost, you know the only expense you'll ever incur besides the insurance is your retention of $25,000. And it's a fixed expense, and that will, and after 3 years of creating a track record, then you become credible to the market. And then companies do want to get in here and say, can we quote? Providing you're profitable.
Sure.
And profitable means that your claims don't exceed 40% of your premium. So if you're going to spend $300,000 on an insurance expense, you will need to make sure you don't exceed 40%. Or the carriers look at you as unprofitable. It isn't like health coverage. Health coverage, they assume they're going to pay out 85 cents on every dollar paid in. But with property casualty, it's a different world. They have to have a better, bigger return on their investment, stakeholders. So 40% is a good number to maintain.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Wait, can we, one last question?
Yes.
Did you come up with the 25,000, or is that the market value normally, or if you wanted
no,
to make it higher?
When we visited this 2 years ago, we initially discussed 150,000 deductible, and we were going to use Taft and Mr. O'Brien's legal as the representation, and that was a condition of even a quote. So with that, and he had full discretion to settle claims under 100.5. Well, the pricing is such now that to carry those high retentions at 150, there's no value to you.
Sure. Okay.
So it's better to go lower deductible, guaranteed cost, than take the risk of the uncertainty of those other claims.
Thank you for the education. I appreciate it.
Anything else?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Mike.
So then we look forward once Dennis has some information and everything. We could have a workshop so that we can address that issue. It's very important.
Sure.
We'll still need
ordinance 2022-120, adopted if at all possible, because of the expiration, we'll just have to add the liability umbrella at such point in this.
Vern, could we go back like 6 years and see what our average cost is that we spent on this group of coverage that we would have?
It's going up nominally. Back when CBIZ came aboard, when I was in my previous position prior to 2015, it was about $90,000.
No, I'm talking about the new insurance that we would take if we choose to go that route.
Oh, the liability.
If we went back 6 years, what was our exposure to that liability not having? You know? So how much did we spend on legal fees for people suing us? So all the things here in this coverage, general liability, law enforcement, legal, public liability, all that, if we could go back and see what it costs the city annually, we would have a better grasp on, is it worth it to spend $100,000 a year for coverage?
Well, prior to that, to the big case, the city rolled the dice and won all those years, because we never had a huge case, and that's why you have insurance for cases like this, where it was a seven-figure case. It's just a little disappointing from the finance office's perspective, though, that we could go year after year after year, decade after decade after decade of just what Michael Perry described as the little slip and fall cases, where we're settling for a couple hundred dollars, get away, you know, a couple thousand dollars, nothing major. And then you have that one major case, and if I misunderstood him, I wrote down, and he said, that litigation has destroyed your credibility. One case did us in, and that's disappointing. It's kind of like, they'll insure you if you don't need them, but once you need them, everybody's running.
Well, we'll get that information together. Thank you.
Any opposition to put both of these ordinances on the consent agenda for this evening? They're time sensitive? Very good. Oh, we're just on the same thing. We have homeowners insurance for 38 years, and we had one claim about 5 years ago, and they dropped this the next year.
They dropped you, see?
For $10,000 claims, so that it shows you. Man.
After you paid, never had a claim, they made so much money off you for 38 years, and you got one $10,000 claim, and you're gone.
So that's the industry, I guess. And finally, before we get back to the agenda, we have ordinance number 2022-87. It's on the second reading. It's an ordinance authorizing the city to enter into an agreement with Youth for Christ, coordinate and direct the campus life program for the 2022-2023 school year.
And Angie's out this evening, but Jim Ellis here from Youth for Christ.
She's online, Vern.
There you go, Angie, we could hear you. There you go.
Okay, Angie, I know you presented last month very well for this legislation. Anything you want to add at this time, or Jim, you wanted to add?
Well, the advisory team met and discussed the request to transition to hourly payment, and everybody was on board with that. There are no issues to converting to hourly payments. That will alleviate some pressure during the school breaks and the summer months, where participation may be low because of vacation, and Youth for Christ is very, very cognizant of reaching the hours that they committed to. So by transitioning to the hourly, it will take the pressure off for when maybe those are not as well attended.
Any questions for Angie? We've had, how many years now, Angie, has we've had Youth for Christ now with the city?
Well, we started in 2010 with the Leader Within program, and Youth for Christ kind of piggybacked on that. So it's been 12 years.
We've had a lot of success stories and a lot of good things. I don't think we've had many reservations about the services that are rendered to our children, school children. So any questions? We're going to, of course, you can't put this on a consent agenda, it's on second reading, so we'll be voting on that this evening, because the school year is just around the corner. Any question, Anthony?
I had a question on page 81 of our packet. It's the paper permission form, and it kind of groups four entities together: Campus Life, City Life, JJM, and YFC. What is JJM?
Yes, sir.
Can I speak on that?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Jim, maybe come up to the microphone. We can hear you, but for it to record properly, the closer you get to the mic, the better for our tech team.
Sure.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone.
How's it going?
How's it going? That may not be working.
Was not.
We can hear you.
You put it on.
Yeah. It goes off by itself.
I didn't do it.
There we go.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right. Hello, everyone. Great to be here first. Actually, last day, 2 years ago, it was Halsey on Zoom, so this will be better. So, your question, so Uniform Christ is over everything. So everything is Uniform Christ. All those are divisions of Uniform Christ. So Campus Life is Uniform Christ in the suburbs. City Life is Uniform Christ in the inner city. JJM is our juvenile justice program, which is Uniform Christ in the juvenile detention.
Any other questions while we have about the microphone?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think there's any. I can see we've been used to the service, great services provided by the by your operation there at Youth for Christ, and we'll be voting on that this evening, part of the second reading, so we can vote on it separately.
Thank you, Jim. Okay.
Thank you, Jim, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good evening. I believe that's all the ones that we have out of order. Very good. We will start then. We'll turn our attention to page 2, second reading, ordinance number 2022-73. This ordinance adopting a 5-year capital improvement plan for 2022 through 2026, the revised copy. And we did receive a variance, the one that was dated August 8th, the latest one. And we've had our meeting Thursday. We've had numerous meetings. I want to again congratulate or thank the council persons for all the effort that you put into the mayor, you and your team, your administrative team, a lot of effort. And last but not least, Vern, you and your finance team, and Dennis too, and everything, and Maggie, have put a lot of work into this. So I don't think we've worked this hard on a 5-year plan, maybe since Jim Crooks was here years ago when he was getting it started, because I think he was the initiator of this. So
it's already August. All budget meetings are just around the corner.
That's right. But we put a lot of
Chris likes all those meetings, he said.
I think it was good for council that we put, we really put our attention to it, especially with the changing income tax revenue, things of that nature, that it was a good exercise for council to be involved with. So I see no problem we'll be voting on this evening, finally putting this to rest. Now, be working on the next 5-year plan for next year. Then we'll move to ordinance number 2022-94.
I do have a question on the capital plan. With the Brookside Eastview to Brecksville, it still has 2022 in parentheses, but it has funding going out to 2024. What year did we talk about that project?
I know we talked about that. Was part of the trilogy, part of the three: Cleaver, Longano, and Brookside. And we, matter of fact, Don, you can verify too. We wanted the engineering done, ready to go, so it goes out the bid. You're absolutely right. Early next year, as early as we possibly can. And we talked about possibly having to borrow, if necessary, to get these three projects done next year,
right?
2023.
The capital plan doesn't reflect that for that project.
Well, the 2022 in parentheses is probably a holdover from a previous plan, but I think a reader of the document would see that with all the funding listed in 23 and 24, the $4.5 million is unrealistic to consider that a 2022 project.
No,
wouldn't we require all the money in 2023 if that's the year to do the project? Because you have 2.5 million or 2.25 million in 2024.
That's what was presented on July 8th, and at the meeting on last week, we discussed separating out Longano, we recorded the two projects, moving Longano up a year, separating out Drexel Road, north of Rockside in the two projects, south of 480 and north of 480. It calls also desires to move the 2250 from 2024 to 2023. That's their priority. I don't recall that.
Well, I think we did, if everyone recalls, I think we talked about having those three projects, even if we had a bar, that those were important to get those three done next year for, you know, for a number of reasons.
Vice Mayor, members of council, just a point of information. Our consultant GBE group is going to assist us with a state issue one application, grant funding application for the Shoreside project, and we are also working with a grant consultant on other opportunities for other projects, because if we are pursuing engineering, these will be shovel ready at the end of the year. So just
you'll verify, Don, that we talked about those three cities being done. We actually ordered that time to get the engineering ready so we can, you know, hopefully get out to bid early in the year. And that, so
if that's council's pleasure, then you can start the $2,250,000 figures in 23 and 24. Just list one $4.5 million figure in 2023. And then on page one of the capital plan, that would increase the bottom line total of 2023 by $2.25 million, and it would decrease the 2024 column by the same amount of money. We can make that change tomorrow morning and have a revised copy to you if somebody wants to make a motion to amend it. That's fine.
I'll make that motion.
So second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Very good. So this one still gets us approved today with as amended, and as early as we can get that heard to correct our, because everything else was planned. But I do remember we specifically, we gave down marching orders for those three roads. Very good.
Excellent. Done.
Well, thank you. We'll move on to ordinance number 2022-94. And that's ordinance authorizing the renewal of the agreement with the James B. Oswald Company for professional insurance broker services for the purchase of health care insurance for the city. And this is an amount not to exceed, I believe, $55,000, you have in your notes, and $2,550 per employee per month. And that's, I think, the same what they charge us this year. Is the Bridget with us?
That is correct. Actually, the $2,550 per employee per month, that can fluctuate a little bit. So ultimately, we did remove the not to exceed language to ensure that, you know, we've got some room there in case, you know, our employee count goes, you know, either up or down. As well, he has agreed to hold their fee for the year, and they removed a clause within their contract that would allow them to receive an automatic 3% increase annually. Ultimately, we will conduct a stewardship review with them at the end of the plan year, and you know, the goal would be to kind of take things from there.
Thank you, Bridget. Any other questions for Bridget while we have her on the line here?
Based on our total employee enrollment in this healthcare program, what are we looking at annually as a cost? I know it's $2,550 per employee per month, but.
So we are right around that same $55,000 mark. It's give or take maybe one or two employees at this time. I would have to get the exact numbers from Maggie. The invoices following our renewal just came out. So ultimately, we're just getting our arms around those final numbers.
Keep in mind that not to exceed $55,000 was based, as HR Director Bridget said, based on employee headcount. But that was my language. I probably should have worded that a little bit different, because technically the not to exceed language is not in the legislation, as HR Director Cozen said, to give a little flexibility in case employee count DBA's offer was up or down. But that's a fairly good estimate of what it should cost in that neighborhood.
Any other questions? We'll vote on that this evening, and thank you, Bridget.
Thank you.
We'll move on to page three, a first reading, ordinance number 2022-106. This ordinance declaring the dwelling and accessory buildings at 7905 Stone Road in the city of Independence to be an unsafe building and therefore a public nuisance as defined in the city codified ordinance 1369.01, declaring the dwelling at 7905 Stone Road and accessory buildings in the city of Independence to be insecure, unsafe, or structurally defective under Ohio Revised Code Section 715.26, and authorizing the law director to notify the owner of and declaring an emergency.
Actually, 107 is a companion.
Yes, and 107 deals same property with the junk motor vehicles that are there. Those I can see from the road, but going by, when you're coming from the west, you can't even see that there's a house back there. Then when you come from from the opposite direction, you can see the house back. It looks like something out of The Walking Dead, as far as that. I hate to say, but I mean, it's of all the other homes that are there, you see that, and those vehicles, I didn't get too close, I didn't want to pull in the drive, but the vehicles don't look like they're in too good a shape.
As you can see, I believe council last month was sent out a packet that the Board of Zoning had received as far as some photographs and things like that. The house hasn't been lived in for multiple years. There's been issues with this property since April of 2002. There's vehicles, around a dozen, as far as I can count, rusted out, inoperable vehicles on the property. The original notice from the building department went out June 6th, when the house was posted and the owner of the property was delivered the notices of condemnation and declaring a nuisance, along with a notice from the police department as far as the vehicles. There has been very little activity. I believe someone was out there trying to clean up the grass a little bit, and there were temporary tags that were put on the rusted flat tire vehicles to try to get them registered. That's been the extent of the notice. The owner of the property did, through an attorney, I'm not sure if he's representing him or not, but did file a notice for an appeal to the Board of Zoning Appeals, which was heard last month by the board. No one was in attendance. The board made their site visit, made their recommendation, discussed the case a little bit, voted, and did not grant any appeal, any variance to any of the citations.
I mean, just to supplement, the building official, no one was in attendance as the applicant requesting the variance. There was quite a few neighbors in attendance who arguably were there to object to any variance being provided.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions for Mike regarding?
So what would be the city's next step?
Well,
assuming the legislation's passed.
Yeah.
The city, as you know, Councilperson Narduzzi, the city has always worked with these homeowners, and certainly we've seen a whole wide swatch of issues that the city, it's in the very, very extreme circumstance that we put these ordinance on. And that is the one that we had torn down was very unsafe. If someone would walk in there, it could collapse. I believe, Mike, from your observations.
There's some foundation excavation that was done a couple of years ago to try to do some foundation repair and some waterproofing that has just been left that way for the last couple of years.
So, the normal course, if council voted on this, we would send a notice and we would work with a contractor, go out and get some proposals to make the property safe. And in this regard, probably tear the structure down if it's uninhabitable. If it's not uninhabitable, we'd go in there and repair it, and then we would assess the property. So when the property transferred or sold, the city would be repaid plus interest. The vehicles, assuming they are inoperable, the law is fairly clear, would go in there and remove them from the property, and arguably at that point, it's junk value, so we would just salvage them. Again, we would assess the property owner and place it on the tax roll, whatever the city's costs were.
What is the other question? I think we passed this this evening. It keeps the process moving, but always being able to deal with them, like we did with the farm. It that turned out to work out well, given time and everything. But to keep this on first reading, I don't know if it would. It probably would just be here next month in the same situation. Jim.
Thank you. So the attorney that you spoke with, who's the owner of the home? Member of the family.
The owner of the home is in the name of Joseph Cabrera, and his address is on Vaughn Street, I believe it's Vaughn Avenue in Cleveland.
This is an inheritance, is that
correct? Dawning Avenue. Yeah.
Did this individual indicate that there was ever a willingness to move here or to fix it?
Oh, yeah, for several years he's stated that he wanted to fix it, and he had been given a citation a few years ago, and there was a response from his attorney, who was acting as his attorney at that time, that he just needed a little more time to clean things up, and that was quite a few years ago.
Wait, did I hear you say this actually started with the first citation in 2002?
Yeah, for multiple vehicles and property maintenance issues on the property.
So, Councilperson Trager, I think 20 years is long enough to get your act together. I think the city's exhibited extreme patience in this situation, similar to the Glass situation.
And I don't know if anybody on council's viewed the property, but
yes,
it's not comparable by no means, unless the guy's going to knock it down and rebuild. But I mean, it's still got to come down. You can't rebuild it.
You know, I would think not. I haven't been in the property. In fact, I have difficulty getting around the entire property because of how overgrown it is. But I can't confirm that there's 12 vehicles there because I can only get back so far. I can confirm 7. But I'm working off of county GIS photos that show for at least the last 16 years none of these vehicles have moved.
The people in that neighborhood, they've put up with this long enough. 20 years is a pretty long time to put up with an issue like this. I think we should move forward. I do notice that the real estate taxes are paid up to date, which has a surprise. He's paying the real estate taxes anyways. But I agree with my, I think we should continue this process and see what transpires. But to delay it or put on first reading, it's not going to, it's not going to move this matter.
Well, they had a chance, and they chose not to.
Yeah, they didn't even appear to the BZA meeting, and that's maybe an opportunity there. Any opposition to this on the consent agenda this evening? Michael, thank you.
Okay.
We move on now to ordinance number 2022-108. This is an ordinance authorizing the purchase, delivery, and setup of furniture and accessories for the Civic Center atrium. This amount not to exceed $59,054.76, and is purchased through the Omni Partners Cooperative Purchasing Program. Any questions for Dennis on this?
Emily is also online.
Emily's available too?
Yes.
Any questions for either Emily? And Emily, you did a fantastic job for home base.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, very proud of the work that I've done.
Emily, when's the last time we did furniture upgrades in the atrium?
I want 2006.
2006.
Yes, so, and the manufacturer recommendation for the life of the furniture is 10 years.
So 16 years. I think we have it already encumbered too, so.
Correct.
Any questions regarding this? Any problems putting this on the consent agenda?
I guess the only comment that I would make would be hopefully the fabrics or whatever is appropriate for that kind of area, that kind of use, and the sturdiness of the furniture because of the use that it gets, hopefully. Emily, can you comment on that?
Yes, I can. So we worked with the vendor and got a number of different samples of fabric and things of that nature, and decided to go with vinyl. While it's still comfortable, it's easy to clean. So whether or not there's somebody having, a child has an accident on from the furniture, whether we spill food on it, it'll be easy to clean, and our stain should be longer than that of the fabric. Currently, our furniture in the atrium is all fabric, and it's starting to wear thin, it's starting to tear. But the vinyl we were told by our vendor should be a little bit longer lasting than fabric at this point.
Thank you, Emily. Any other questions for Emily? This will be on the consent agenda this evening. Orders number. Thank you, Emily. Orders number 2022-109. This ordinance authorizing the purchase and delivery of a new sewer box truck for the service department. Is Ron online?
Yes, he is.
Yes, I am.
And Ron, we discussed this, I believe, at the meeting, and I do see it's an amount not to exceed $89,670. I believe we have a purchase order for $90,000 from 2021 on this, so the funds have been encumbered.
That's correct.
Is done through the Ohio Cooperative Purchasing Program through Valley Ford Truck. Any questions for Ron?
The only question I have is in regard to the new sewer truck, or the camera truck that we have. Do we have any city logos or lettering on that vehicle?
We do not. We're waiting until the new logos come out to put them on.
Okay. So then are we going to transition all the other service vehicle logos as well?
Yes, that is the game plan.
Okay. Are there any other questions for Ron? Any problems having this on the consent agenda this evening? Very good. Thank you, Ron. Stay there with us. So the next ordinance is yours too. Ordinance number 2022-110. This ordinance authorizing the purchase and delivery of two plow trucks and salt boxes and the purchase and installation of aluminum wheels for each of the plow trucks for the service department. The one is through Valley Ford also, and then the second for the wheels is through Opsumrall Tire Company proposal.
Correct.
And the total for all that, I believe, is $239,574.50.
That is correct.
And I believe, Vern, also we have, there was funds that we were able to use. We have $200,000 listed for the F-550 plows and salt boxes. The other $40,000 is going to be reallocated from the F-250, 350 plow truck entry?
Correct. That's the service director of Mayor's recommendation.
Any questions for Ron regarding this ordinance? Any opposition of putting this on the consent agenda? Again, we discussed this in that detail, I think, at the Streets and Sidewalks meeting. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
We will move now to that'll be put on the consent agenda. We move now to ordinance number 2022-111. It's ordinance authorizing extension to the agreement with J.F. Hunsowitz and Associates to provide labor relations consulting and negotiation services. I believe is there a new piece of legislation to replace
it? Yeah. It was replaced, Vice Mayor. We replaced this with added a provision that it says $5,000 a month, and now it's $200 per hour up to $5,000 a month, so it'd be hourly as needed, not to exceed $5,000, but instead of a flat fee, now it's going to be an hourly fee with a cap.
So the $5,000 is the cap?
Is the cap. So we still have the same cap, but it'll be an hourly up to the cap.
That seems to make a lot of sense. With my experience in negotiating, there are often huge gaps where there's not much activity when one or the other group doesn't want to come to the table. So I think that addition to the piece of legislation makes sense. If you're working, you get paid.
Right. That's exactly what we agreed to, and he's agreed to that provision, so we figured we'd just substitute it because it's on first reading anyway.
So do we keep this on for sure, or do we vote?
No, no, it's going to be, I mean, I'm sorry, it's on the agenda. Not
I see.
But we'd like to vote on it tonight if possible. I appreciate that.
And then, will there be a piece of legislation that will...
It's in your package.
It's always
updated. It was updated on the website, like a...
It's already on the website. It's been updated on the website.
There you go.
There we go. Any other questions regarding this? There again, we'll put this on the consent agenda this evening.
I'll ask that we keep it off the consent agenda.
Okay. So we'll vote on this separately. Very good. Now we move on to ordinance number 2022-112. It's ordinance formally establishing a capitalization threshold for capital assets. And Vern, I think we provided the backup for this, and it made perfect sense on the explanation of this. So the change is going to be, the cost is going to be, it's 2 years now instead of 1 year.
Correct.
And instead of 1,000, it'll be 5,000. Yeah.
Right. And we provided the documentation directly from the GFOA with their recommendations. So it's just cleaning some things up and will help us with the state audit team next year as far as what's classified as an asset and what isn't. So the items under 5,000 will be more expensed, and then we don't have to put them on the books and depreciate them every year.
It'll be interesting to see how much fell in that category that we're removing now and everything.
Well, those have been your own businesses, John. You do a lot of equipment. Imagine capitalizing every $1,000 purchase and depreciating over 5 years. It just adds to the complexity of the operation. So this will help us, and we're complying with what the GFOA recommends.
Is this a large jump all at one time?
Well, $1,000 to $5,000 is, but we're going to go retroactive to the beginning of the year, so this passes, and we've already talked to the department directors about purchasing, and when requisitions come through, and they're under the criteria of 5,000 in 2 years, that the accounts that they will be expensed out of are more general fund operating accounts and not the capital accounts, and then Dennis will work as soon as this is passed to start jumping on all the purchases that were made between January 1 and today's date to comply with this. And then that way, when the year ends, we're able to turn over a nice set of asset documents to the audit team first quarter next year that is a little cleaner in the year.
So this will be retroactive to January 1st of this year?
Correct.
And so then will this set the threshold for our inventory in the Tyler system? Anything above $5,000 will be inventoried in our asset management system?
That I don't know. This is strictly an accounting policy. If that software is key to do anything different, it might make sense to have both of them sync up. So something we could sit down with Dwan and the Tyler team and try to sync them up as close as possible so that there's less calculating for us to do on an ongoing and annual basis.
Well, the reason I ask is because your GFOA references capital asset management systems that track these inventory items. And so how many assets do we have actually in inventory above 500,000? We have is that in our Tyler system now? We had to go live July 25th based on our last meeting.
You said above 500,000 or above?
About 5,000. Did we have our Tyler?
We're going live next week.
I thought it was July 25th. Or last
well, thing, we also said it had to be flexible, so.
Okay. Don, you might give more information.
To ensure that nobody had any issues during home days, we checked with the mayor and we decided to move it off after home days because it was a lot to ask to have both of those things going on. So your question was, are there any assets over 500,000 in Tyler right now?
No, this is setting the threshold for our capital assets at $5,000. I guess my question was, is that aligned with our Tyler asset inventory management system? Will that be the $5,000 bottom threshold?
That's Ron, I assume you can hear us.
Yes, I can.
Okay.
So I don't know what the individual values are of the assets. The goal of Tyler is to capture all of that information, including the value of them and then of all the assets.
Sure.
And then we can do any kind of reporting from there. I'm not sure if I fully understood.
Well, what the point is,
it'll capture all 100% of our assets. This is just an accounting procedure where only the assets that exceed $5,000 and have a life of 2,000 will actually be listed on the city's balance sheet as an asset and then depreciated. Anything under 5,000 will be expensed, but they still will be maybe listed on the Tyler system that will have a $200 lawnmower and he'll have a $400 this. But as far as the finance department is concerned, they're not assets that are going to hit our balance sheet anymore.
Right.
Right, yes. There is no, it's not tied into our financial system. This is literally designed for asset maintenance so that we can do, you know, any kind of preventative maintenance, and we can capture the information that's based on jobs. So how much, so what we have been able to put in, certainly as it pertains to service, is there's FEMA rates and FEMA codes. So each job, we're able to capture how much that job cost us based on what the FEMA codes are, or if you use, you know, a rubbish truck for 8 hours a day over a certain period of time. But it is not tied into the, although it could be if you ever wanted to do that, it's not currently tied into the financial system. But there are financial reports we can pull out of it. And we go live August 15th. So
August 15th.
Just to answer that question. Any other questions?
Thank you, Don. Any other questions for Don?
Thank you, Don.
Any opposition putting this on the consent agenda this evening? Hearing none, we will put ordinance 2022-112 on the consent agenda. Ordinance number 2022-113 is ordinance creating the Case Special Assessment Fund. Vern, I'll let you explain that. You did a great job.
Yeah, we kept the last two ordinances very short titles, so you wouldn't have so much to read. Thank you. Councilor recalls that so far, not year to date, but since we did the first PACE deal with Redwood Living on Pleasant Valley, and then the second PACE deal facilitating the wealthy new building on Rockside Woods Boulevard North, since the audit team's been on site here for many months, we did talk to them about this PACE financing that we've been involved with, and they're highly suggesting that to just be able to track the funds flow better, we create a fund just for these PACE deals. It goes against what I'd like to do. I'd like to actually have less funds than more, but when the state audit team says it's probably a good idea, then we'll comply.
So what will happen is, like with Redwood and now with the wealthy, they're getting their pay, they'll be added on to their real estate taxes. So they'll pay the county, the county turn will pay the assessment to us.
And it's just, from a layperson's term viewpoint, I don't know why it can't be set up where the property owner can't just pay it and directly, but we have to be the pass-through entity, and that's actually what the last ordinance that finance has, 2022-117, is about.
You just have to
do the opposite, remove us as the pass-through entity, correct?
Yeah. Hey, any other questions for Vern on this? Any opposition?
I guess I know, Vern, if these were two recommendations from the state audit, what is the status of the 21 audit? Are we complete?
They are still on site. Well, they're remote on site, both, but no, they haven't completed. Maggie will tell you this is her 15th or 20th audit that she's been through, and she's never been through an audit that, I won't say that it's this difficult, but this comprehensive that extends beyond, well beyond just financial. It's into operations, it's into safety and security, it's into so many operational aspects of the organization, well beyond finance. So I, even though the 2021 financial report has been completed, I think by code that the state audit team has until the end of this month to finally wrap up their work.
This is, this is the first time we've had the state, right?
In at least 10 years, yes. They, in the last 10 years, they let the independent public accountant do it, and most of those years, if not all of them, it was Chewy and Vinici. And every decade then after an IPA does it, the state wants to pull it in-house just so that they can put their eyes on it. But how they put their eyes on it is much more different than how the IPA is putting the eyes on it for the last 10 years. So, it's been taking a limited time. And sidetracked to that, we've also been getting the Strike Force Fund audited by DC for months, if not extending back to last year in 2021 too. So Maggie especially, but all of us have been providing documentation for the Hydra Strike Force funds for many, many months, in addition to the state audit team and their data requests. So we just take emails as they come, right, Maggie? And even though we roll our eyes, we just keep complying and taking our time and hoping that's the last one. But there's, okay, thank you for this. Now we have this question, and it just seems to never end. So the only thing that might put an end to it is the state code saying, hey, audit team, you have to be wrapped up by this certain date.
Very good. Any other questions for Vern? Is any opposition put this on the consent agenda? Very good. We'll move on. We'll take the next three together because they're really interrelated. Don, these are all coming from Streets and Sidewalks, coming from Don's request. It's ordinance number 2022-114, 115, and 116. And all of them authorize retention. The first one is of Manic and Smith Group Incorporated to provide general construction, engineering, and inspection services to the engineering department. The second one deals with Quality Control Inspections, Inc. And the third one is regards to CT Consultants, Inc. Don, would you like to expound on this?
Sure, Vice Mayor, thank you. Yeah, it was brought up at the last Streets and Sidewalks Committee meeting that as a result of some significant ordinances and contracts that were approved for asphalt and road construction work this summer, we had a need for resources to help oversee and inspect that work and manage it and be our resident representatives on these projects. So I have had good success and track record of utilizing numerous firms. They're very, very professional. They all have well-qualified individuals that have performed well for the city in these roles. And I feel there's good value in spreading the work around. It helps me, I do compare and contrast them during the work to kind of see who's strengths and weaknesses, or individual, specific individual companies that also have strengths or weaknesses, and it does help me then arrive at consultants that we, when big projects come along, such as the Brookside Road $4 or $5 million project, where we would need to solicit a construction manager, these sort of little task order contracts do help me weed out, so to speak, or pre-qualify firms for those bigger projects. So I think there's good value in the process every step of the way.
And previously we'd approved DLZ, I guess, also on a $50,000. So you have four companies, and I don't know if they've already started their work already, but $200,000. And I believe you said that the $200,000 represents about a little less than 9% of the total contract value, which is well within industry standards, too.
Correct, yes. It's within that framework. Also, keep in mind, one of these, I do also use these firms to help oversee utility right-of-way inspections, which is 100% reimbursable. So those percentages don't really even take into account that aspect. So it's actually probably less, more towards the lower number.
I think Manic and Smith was one of those you use quite a bit for utility.
Yes.
Any questions for Don? Any problem putting all three of these pieces of legislation on consent? Very good. We move on to ordinance number 2022-117. That's ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into a First Amendment to compensation agreement with the Independence Local School District regarding permanent parcel number 561-24-026. That's the Top Golf property. Vern, would you like to explain this kind of opposite of what we just did with the case?
Great. Yeah, in a nutshell, it's pretty simple. All the TIF agreements, all the TIF parcels and districts that the city has, it's pretty clean and neat where the taxes are and pilots are paid to the county, and the county just sends the school district their share, sends the city our share, and it's separate and it's neat and clean that way. This particular agreement was drafted so that the school share of the TIF revenue would come to the city, and then the city would then turn around and write the check back to the school district. So in meeting with Eric Taylor, the treasurer, the district treasurer, and their legal team, and then our finance team and the mayor, we just said, you know, if that's, the net effect of that is the same, so why don't we just restructure this back to the way all the other 19 or 20 TIFs are, where the owner of the top belt property will pay their taxes and pilots to the Cuyahoga County Fiscal Office, and then the fiscal office will just send the school district their share and send the city our share, and then it's one less transaction for the city to have to worry about each year being the middle person in between the two entities, between the county and the school district.
Are there any questions for Vern on this?
So the compensation agreement and those payments will remain the same?
Yeah, we didn't talk to the school district about renegotiating that, and this has no financial impact on the agreement. The school district would still receive exactly from Cuyahoga County what they would receive from the city. It's just that they would get the check directly from Cuyahoga County instead of from us.
They try to get the money sooner.
Well, yeah, it's direct deposited and so forth. And actually, not to complicate it, but the county actually did send the school district their share this time around, instead of sending it to us and us sending it to the school district. So Eric and I got together and said, well, Cuyahoga County kind of screwed up. They didn't follow the agreement, but it kind of makes sense what they did. So why don't we just legally put it so that we formalize what the county did, and the county just sends the school district what's coming to them from that property and sends us our share.
Very good. Any problems putting this on the consent agenda? And I believe, Mayor, that takes us through
that's it.
The agenda.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Vice Mayor. Thank you, Council. Okay, let's get the show on the road here. Good evening. We have the regular meeting of council of August 9th, 2022. Clerk will call the roll.
DeGeronimo?
Here.
Brendel?
Here.
Narduzzi?
Here.
Tagliati?
Here.
Trakas?
Present.
Ververka?
Here.
Walchanowicz?
Here.
Minister Blaze, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Wow. Jamel, the pressure's on me here. We usually have a pastor from the community do the prayer, and I was told to be quick since it was a long agenda. I said, well, the other agenda items could have gone quicker so that I could take more time, but those of you that
take as
that,
long as your time as you want.
Hey, by the old standard, we're 35 minutes early.
Take
so
as long as you want.
You know that, man. A lot of times when I'm asked to lead a prayer, I kind of go right to the source. The book, the Bible, for my inspiration, for my prayers before this honorable body. And I got an idea this past weekend, and if you're Catholic and you were in church this past weekend, one of the readings was from Hebrews chapter 11, and that chapter is referred to as the Hall of Faith chapter, because in that chapter it lists 10 Old Testament males and females by name, and one country, Israel, by name, and they're all recognized in there because they exhibited a tremendous amount of faith, and faith being defined as a belief in the things or events that can't be seen yet. So for this evening's prayer, I want to revisit that Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith chapter, and reference those 10 people, and what I'll do is just read the first part of the sentence that leads into each of those 10 individual names as part of the prayer, and then just one or two of the action words, the verbs, that go on to describe why each of these individuals of this country was included in this chapter. But we won't read the whole chapter, and I'll leave that to maybe, you know, after hearing these, it'll spark some interest in anybody here in attendance, and maybe you'll want to go to Hebrews chapter 11 and read the whole chapter in its entirety. So let's pray. Father God, you've given us the hope and ability to be people of great faith. Help us to grow in our faith and exhibit that faith in our daily lives, just as the following 10 people did. It was by faith that Abel brought. It was by faith that Enoch was taken. It was by faith that Noah built. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed. It was by faith that Sarah, together with Abraham, was able to. It was by faith that Abraham offered. It was by faith that Isaac blessed. It was by faith that Jacob blessed. It was by faith that Joseph confidently spoke. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him. It was by faith that Moses refused. It was faith that Moses left. It was by faith that Moses commanded. It was by faith that the people of Israel went. And lastly, it was by faith that Rahab the prostitute did not. All of these people mentioned above were too good for this world, Lord, even though they all received your approval because of their faith. But none of them received all that you had promised. For you had far greater things in mind for us that would also benefit them, for they can't receive the prize at the end of the race until we finish the race. Help us then, Lord, to finish the race with faith so that these people mentioned and all of us can receive the prize at the end of the race, everlasting life with you. In your holy, awesome name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Vern.
Mayor, and also while we're on the prayer, it would be nice to, if everybody in their own way to say a prayer for Carl Patterson. Debbie had notified us of his passing, and he was the building official. Before Mike, and he was a wonderful man, he was a great man, an honorable man, and I'd like to
moment of silence.
Him too.
We'll do a moment of silence,
yes,
for Carl Patrick. Thank you. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Audience participation. Is there anyone? Okay, Tim Lesh.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I like to hand Council a speech for the fact that I am the police chief. That's who's in the police chief.
Oh, well.
Yes,
you bet.
Thank you, Jim.
I think you get one.
I don't get one. I didn't make the cut.
Well, maybe you did. Maybe there's four there.
Is there four there? I'll keep one.
Distance, according to then Police Chief McCastro, from the impact zone to Hillside Road was 2,400 feet. This club usually shoots at the 200-yard line, which makes the range 3,000 feet to Hillside Road. And also makes those homes beyond Hillside Road a little over 3,000 feet. Since this map was given to me, well, the next page, it basically just shows that, you know, the Heidelberg Distribution Company, final page, or this next page, zooms out a little bit more to show at the top left corner the development of Twin Creeks. And that was right before the completion of the homes. And then also right below there, there are four homes on the south side of the building. The last page shows a little bit more detail of those four homes and Twin Creek development. This range should not be in operation. It came to my attention that this club, Sycamore Hills Rifle Club, they're shooting AR-15s, M1 Garands, M1As, and M14s. I personally have shot all these rifles. I've shot them in competition. The range of this ammunition and these rifles far exceeds 3,000 feet. You also can see that there's two more pages. The first page, even though it's dated 2016, this has been standard procedure, Camp Perry, for decades. The small arms fire, Lake Erie Danger Zone 1, extends 3.5 miles offshore, including the airspace to 5,000 feet above ground level. The second page shows a fanning area of Camp Perry for Area 1, which is small arms fire, which we're talking about, and Area 2, which is smaller fire. As I've said, I have shot these matches, CMP matches. This is what they're shooting. They're shooting CMP matches. Okay. CMP matches, one of the stages of CMP matches is rapid fire, where you have two rounds of the magazine. You have to shoot those two rounds, drop that magazine, reload, and shoot another 8 rounds of the separate magazine all within 1 minute. I have been down to that site. I was invited down to that site to observe what they were shooting. And they're shooting along a creek bed that is loaded with large stones and overhanging branches, everything that could create misfires. Well, I mean, misfires happen on the firing line all the time. I've seen slam fires, misfires, I've seen ricochets that can change the direction of a bullet 90 degrees in a blink of an eye. I wrote a letter some years ago to then safety chairwoman, Ms. Nesky, and I stated that during that meeting, the issue of the range being operated by the Sycamore Hills Rifle Club was addressed. At that time, it was brought to my attention that high-power rifles were being used, specifically M1 Garands and M16s were mentioned. Aerial maps provided by Police Chief John Castro show residential homes in the line of fire, well within reach of ammunition used in high-powered rifles. While I was allowed to voice some of my concerns at the meeting, I cannot stress the risk factor of the operation of the range. The M1 Garand has a range of 3,200 meters, while the M16 has an area target range of 800 meters. Having assisted with the constructive
construction of two high-powered rifle ranges under the direction of the MNRA and having used high-powered rifles in competition, M16 and M1 included, and being instructed in the safety of firearms handling, live fire exercises, and marksmanship skills from military personnel, Coast Guard personnel, and Cleveland peace officers, and given the information provided by Chief DeCastro. It is in my opinion that the Sycamore Hills Rifle Range is the most reckless operation of a range I've ever seen. Firearms misfire and malfunction, and they do so on the firing line. I urge the Safety Committee to end the operations of the range immediately until the safety of the residents of Hillside and those who drive on Hillside could be assured. However, from the information provided to me, I doubt that could happen. Recently, it was back in March this year, I believe that in Summit County, they invested $1 million in a high-powered rifle range. And this was done very professionally. An errant bullet passed that range and went into a home. Luckily, no one was injured or killed. And I have to remind you that it doesn't take an entire bullet. It only takes a fragment of a bullet the size of the tip of a pencil.
Yeah, Mr. Lush, as a courtesy, we're extending the 3-minute limitation, so continue, please.
Okay, thank you very much, Matt.
Sure.
It only takes a fragment, okay, for someone to be killed. I mean, we have, you know, these are serious weapons. And these bullets, they do fragment. And you cannot be sure. Anytime that you pull that trigger and that bullet leaves the end of that rifle, where that bullet will go, you just can't do it. These bullets will travel from the muzzle at over 4,000 feet per second. I know that it should be paramount of importance to all that the safety of our residents, the safety of everyone that travels on Hillside Road is paramount. It has to take priority. This range needs to be shut down immediately and permanently. It cannot be safe. There's no way that it can be. I mean, if you go down there and you look, you think that it could be. But if you look at that topographical map that I provided, look at the elevations, 750 feet at the fire point, 700 feet at the impact zone, 750 feet at Hillside Road. Don't go down there and let your eyes fool you. Now, in the last 10 years, Wind Creek's been developed. Now, within the last 10 years, we have hunters in those woods, okay, that could be tracking deer going after their game. There's a lot of reasons that this range needs to be shut down permanently. It cannot be operated safely in our city anymore, from my experience. And I do have a lot of experience with this. And if any of you would like to discuss this matter with me further, I would be more than happy to discuss this with all of you or any of you at any time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else? Sorry, I don't think that's it? Okay. Okay, let's see. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting of Council of July 12, 2022, Streets and Sidewalks Committee meeting of July 26, 2022?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? And they're adopted. Directors will submit the report. I'll submit my report. Let's see. We have, ordinance. We have a consent agenda verbiage. I have approval of the consent agenda. Wait.
Second reading.
First reading. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Okay. We have ordinance 2022-73.
Aye. Second.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed?
An ordinance adopting a five-year capital improvement plan for 2022-2026, revision one.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Any questions on the adoption?
Thank you. This is subject to the amendment we made.
Yep.
During caucus.
Call the roll.
DeGeronimo?
Yes.
Brindell?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Pagliari?
No.
Tracus?
Aye.
Laverca?
Yes.
Walt Chanlich?
Yes. And it's adopted. We have ordinance 2022-87.
Title only.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
An ordinance authorizing the city to enter into agreement with Youth for Christ to coordinate and direct the campus life program for the 2022-2023 school year.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Any questions on the adoption? Call the roll.
Brindell?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Pagliari?
No.
Tracus?
Aye.
Laverca?
No.
Walt Chanlich?
Yes.
DeGeronimo?
Yes.
And it's adopted. We have ordinance 2022-94.
Title only.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
An ordinance authorizing the renewal of the agreement with the James B. Oswald Company for professional insurance broker services for the purchase of health care insurance for the city.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Any questions on the adoption? Call the roll.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Pagliari?
Yes.
Tracus?
Aye.
Laverca?
Yes.
Walt Chanlich?
Yes.
DeGeronimo?
Yes.
Brindell?
Yes.
And it's adopted. Let's see. Approval of the consent agenda items will be read individually into the record, and the consent agenda will then be voted on as a whole by one motion and roll call. There will be no separate discussion on these items. Do I have a motion to read the consent agenda items by title only?
I so move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Ordinance 2022-106, an ordinance declaring the dwelling and accessory buildings at 7905 Stone Road in the City of Independence to be an unsafe building and therefore a public nuisance as defined in City Codified Ordinance 1369.01, declaring the dwelling at 7905 Stone Road and accessory buildings in the City of Independence to be insecure, unsafe, or structurally defective under Ohio Revised Code Section 715.26, and authorizing the law director to notify the owner of and declaring an emergency. Ordinance 2022-107, an ordinance declaring the vehicles parked at 7905 Stone Road in the City of Independence to be junk motor vehicles as defined in City Codified Ordinance 660.24 and Ohio Revised Code Section 4513.65, and therefore a public nuisance as defined in City Codified Ordinance 662.04, and authorizing the law director to notify the owner of and declaring an emergency. Ordinance 2022-108, an ordinance authorizing the purchase, delivery, and setup of furniture and accessories for the Civic Center atrium. Ordinance 2022-109, an ordinance authorizing the purchase and delivery of a new sewer box truck for the service department. Ordinance 2022-110, an ordinance authorizing the purchase and delivery of two plow trucks and salt boxes and the purchase and installation of aluminum wheels for each of the plow trucks for the service department. Ordinance 2022-112, an ordinance formally establishing a capitalization threshold for capital assets, revision one. Ordinance 2022-113, an ordinance creating the PACE Special Assessment Fund. Ordinance 2022-114, an ordinance authorizing the retention of Mannequin Smith Group, Inc. to provide general construction, engineering, and inspection services to the engineering department. Ordinance 2022-115, an ordinance authorizing the retention of Quality Control Inspection, Inc. to provide general construction, engineering, and inspection services to the engineering department, revision one. Ordinance 2022-116, an ordinance authorizing the retention of CT Consultants, Inc. to provide general construction, engineering, and inspection services to the engineering department. Ordinance 2022-117, an ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into a First Amendment to Compensation Agreement with the Independence Local School District regarding personal permanent property number 561-24026. Ordinance 2022-118, an ordinance granting a special conditional use permit to Gray Media Group, Inc. for the operation of an office building and broadcast and satellite equipment center. Ordinance 2022-119, an ordinance accepting the proposal of CBIZ Insurance Services, Inc. for property and casualty risk management professional consulting services for the purchase of property, inland marine, crime, and automobile insurance for the city. Ordinance 2022-120, an ordinance authorizing the retention of Travelers Property Casualty Company of America for insurance underwriting services for the purchase of property, automobile, inland marine, equipment, and crime insurance 2022 to 2023.
Motion to suspend.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Any questions on the adoption? Call the roll.
Tagliati?
Yes.
Tracus?
Aye.
Reverka?
Yes.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
DeGeronimo?
Yes.
Grindel?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
And the consent agenda is adopted. We have ordinance 2022-111.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
An ordinance authorizing an extension to the agreement with J.F. Lentzowitz and Associates to provide labor relations, consulting, and negotiation services, revision 1.
Motion to suspend.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Any questions on the adoption? Call the roll.
Tracus?
Aye.
Reverka?
Yes.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
DeGeronimo?
Yes.
Grindel?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Tagliati?
No.
And it's adopted. That completes our agenda before this honorable body. That being said, I want to thank everyone for being here this evening, and I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. Home Days was a great, we had a great Home Days, very successful, and I can't thank everybody on the team enough for their effort. It definitely was a team effort. Mother Nature helped out, and so it was good to see everybody. God bless everybody, and good evening.
Recording stopped.